Okay, today is the 6th of Shvat, 22nd of January, and we continue in our study of Ola Hamidos. Once again, we're on page Chaf Dalet, starting with the Perek Beis, second Perek, entitled Olam Shel Emes. We actually read the last paragraph last time, if I'm not mistaken. Rav Kestenbaum presents to us that the beginning of all Midos is actual, true awareness. It's self-awareness. Chazal described the Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and elsewhere there's a story, actually, yeah, that Gemara in Sanhedrin, if I'm not mistaken, is talking about where they nullified the Yetzihara for Avodah Zarah, and there was a question whether their actions were correct, and a small piece of paper fell from heaven that said Emes on it. Emes is Hashem's signature. It's like when you sign something, you agree to it, you sign off. So if a Kadosh Baruch Hu signs off with Emes, that's his chosam, it's his seal. So let's continue. Second paragraph on Chaf Dalet. I think a lot of what we'll read here we'll find to be straightforward, in some ways pashut, but Musar is pashut. Musar is supposed to be taking things that are so obviously true and applying them. Our sages say, anybody who changes with his words, machlef means he switches, he changes from the truth. It's interesting, our chachamim use the term change to mean lie. Mishane, like in English, I don't think you speak so much that way, but ha-mishane b'diburo, or ha-machlef b'diburo, it means he changes, because this is where the truth is, and this is what he says, he changes.
It's like a sheker?
Yes, right, that's sheker. So it's like you worshipped idols. Ksiv Halkot says here, Vayisu Bein of Kimisatea, Yaakov Avinu expresses concern to his mother that if father will discover our charade, I'll be in his eyes like a misatea, tough ayin. Ksiv Hasim, it says in Yirmiah, Hevel Hema Maase Tatuim. And Yirmiah is talking about Avodah Zarah, and it calls it Tatuim, that same word, tough ayin. And Yaakov, when he's concerned about doing something that's untrue, uses the same word. Hence, there's a comparison. The same word is used for Avodah Zarah and for falsehood. V'yesh l'ayin. One can analyze. One has to look into the matter. Lama nimshel sheker l'Avodah Zarah. Why is falsehood like Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is denying God, worshipping a foreign deity. Why is it like sheker? V'nir al piya gemara, it appears that we should explain it based on the gemara. Yodin hayu yisrael b'avodas kochavim she'in bo mamish. I have to say, I think that Rav Kestenbaum gets to the heart of Musar in these next paragraphs here. And this is really worthy of contemplation. The Gemara says, Klai Yisrael knew that Avodah Zarah has no reality to it. They knew Ein Bo Mamish, it's not real. They only served Avodas Kochavim, Lahatil Hem Arayas Beferhesya, so that it should allow other things. It should allow Gila Arayas. Virak Basud Avikuba Ne'esechavivalin. Once they got entangled in it, it became beloved to them. Meaning, initially, there's no attraction per se to Avodah Zarah. But if that's my lifestyle, if that's what I follow, it will allow other things. And then once they started following it, they got into Avodah Zarah. That's what the Gemara says. As the Gemara says there. But Tzarachiyim, so now we're analyzing this. Im Yadu Sha'ovid Avodas Kochavim Sheker, if they knew that serving idols is false, Virak Ratzu Lahatil Amarayas, they're just interested in more licentious behavior, Yavo Al Arayas, Vilamalam Avodah Zarah. So why beat around the bush? If you're only doing A in order to permit B, why don't you just pursue B? Why bother with Avodah Zarah? They want a rise, go for a rise. Ela posha chilo hayu yacholim lasos hara lahedya. Li horas heter. It's obvious, the answer is, because they weren't able to do that which is wrong, that which is bad, straight out, without some horas heter. Our chachamim use the term mora heter. Mora heter literally means to paskin permissibility. To be mora, to rule, like yoredeya. Heter, it's permissible. But when we talk about somebody being mora heter, we usually mean somebody who makes a false allowance, a false heter. It's a way of making a mutter for myself. So that they needed some justification, la'atzmam, for themselves. Shavada hayu ne'etzavim ba'atzmam. They would have been very disappointed with themselves. And lohei lahem shum haroas hatter. A person doesn't just want to say, okay, I feel like doing the wrong thing. I'm going to do the wrong thing. But if I create an ideology about it, a philosophy about it.
Rationalize
it, yeah. V'lochein ha'yitzrichim lasos la'atzmos arayos l'davar ha'mutter. They had to turn arayos into something that was permissible. So, Avodah Zarah is already supposedly a belief system. So that's my belief system, so then these behaviors are permissible. I'm not violating my principles. These are my principles. Masha amruzal shiyadu shein ba'mamish. When our sages said they knew there was nothing to it, mamish means it has no reality. Not tangible, not real. Hainu shebepnimius libum yadu kain. In the innards of their heart, they knew that. Aval hayu machasim ha'emes af me'atzvam. You know, he's addressing something very important here. The way that our sages phrase it is they knew there was no reality to it. There's nothing real about it. But they did it in order to allow Avodah Zarah. And we just said, what does that mean? They needed a moral justification for... for Gilui Arayos. They needed a moral justification for Gilui Arayos. But one second, the Gemara says they knew it's not real. If I'm trying to fool myself, I need something that seems real. So he's saying the answer is deep down they knew it wasn't real.
Why didn't they need a moral justification to the Avodah Zarah in the first place?
Thank you very much.
Well, it's that type of a chait. It's a chait of belief. It's where one convinces him. There's two types of
Avodah Zarah. So it's a belief versus an action of a
right.
But he's really talking about lying. Action. He's really talking about lying.
Right. Fact,
and the other one is
so
a belief.
So we convince ourselves that it's like okay to do it when it's really not.
It's right. Isn't it like rationalization?
Question. Right. In fact, if you look, I happen to be teaching Mishlei, the strongest exhortations are about don't let your mind be led astray. So long as my mind is here, even if my desires are there, my actions are there, it's not good, it's not synchronized, but there's hope, because at least I know that my behavior, my actions are not aligned with what's really correct. Don't follow, don't go off the road by following your heart. Chazal says, Zohaminos, that's heresy. The Pasuk says, Kol bo'eha lo yushuvun, all who come to her. It's using the metaphor of this seductive woman, or whatever, but Chazal says, referring to ideologies, Kol bo'eha lo, all who come there never return. There are people who they convince themselves of a belief system.
Right.
Now, deep down, they know it's wrong. But if I allow my Yitzhahara to convince me of a belief system, it doesn't take a Haraz Hetzer because I think I'm doing the right thing.
One step, two step, and pretty soon you're a mile apart from where you're supposed
right.
to be.
Right, and the problem is it's a belief. So the person thinks he really believes this. And he's going to develop this point even more. Arayas, they know, is straight out desire. Avodah Zarah is allegedly, supposedly, well, this is a belief system. So what does it mean they knew it wasn't real? It means deep down they knew it wasn't real, but it was enticing to buy into this belief system because then it allows other things. Kedei lamalos tavos, in order to fulfill their desires. On to the next page, chafei. V'nira shemishum hachi nimshal sheker l'avodah zarah. And that's why sheker, falsehood in general, is likened to avodah zarah. Sheharei ka'amor, for behold, as was said, hasiv l'avodah zarah hi mishum sha'adam rotzeh l'chasos ha'emes. What's the real cause for Avodah Zarah? Our sages make this statement. Why did the Jewish people turn to Avodah Zarah? It's to hide the truth. Kidei lamalos tavos, in order to fulfill his desires. He has desires. He can't bring himself to flagrantly violate what he knows the moral code to be, what he knows the Torah, which is correct, to be. So, I have to do something. So I'm hiding the truth. It's an act of hiding the truth from myself. Ukemosha kosev Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman Zatzal. As Rabbi Chana Wasserman writes, he quotes it here from the Be'eri Agodos. He has a sefer called Kovetz Ma'amarim. This is a classic, classic piece from Rabbi Chana Wasserman. Rabbi Chana Wasserman, of course, was one of the great Gaonim of Europe, a close disciple of the Chofetz Chaim. He was killed by the Nazis. Terrible loss and tragedy. His writings on Gemara and all kinds of things are very, very important to us. So Rabbi Chana has a classic piece in Kovetz Ma'amarim. It's one of these things that once you learn it, like, remains part of your view of life permanently as a piece. He basically poses the question, how can it be that we have a mitzvah, Enochi Hashem Elokecha? Many Rishonim count that as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Some say it's even before the Taryag mitzvah, it's an obligation. But the belief in Hashem. There's an obligation to believe in Hashem that every 13-year-old boy and 12-year-old girl, Jewish boy or girl, is obligated in. And he says, Aristotle, who was great, the Rambam writes, was such a great chacham, didn't come to full belief in God. So how can we have a mitzvah that every simple person is supposed to believe? How do you obligate somebody to believe? I believe what I believe based on my impressions from my life. And his answer is basically that belief is very simple and cognitive dissonance is what makes it complicated. It's that people don't want to believe. That Hashem exists and runs the world is actually a simple fact, and it's sophistication. It's people's desires to want to think otherwise that clouds it. And therefore it can be incumbent upon everybody to believe. There are many books that have developed this idea very, very nicely in our time. You can buy them. There are many nice English books that show historically, even scientists who were pointed in the direction of certain conclusions but didn't want to reach those conclusions because it was against what they wanted to believe. So Rav Chanan writes, Levar, if you talk about Tinok ben Yud Gimel Shana v'Tinok Esbas Yud Beis Shana Yishaibu v'Munas Hashem. How can it be that a young boy, 13 years old, a young girl, 12 years old, should be obligated in belief in Hashem? Ma shenichshulu ba afilu ha-philosophim ha-gedolim kamo Aristo. But even the great philosophers like Aristotle were nichshulim, they didn't make it. Rather, the answer is, as it says in the Torah, that bribery blinds the eyes of the wise. We're meshuchad. We're bribed. Our thinking is colored. It's not only base desire. There are many forces that pull on a person's way of thinking.
So we bribe ourselves.
Yeah. We are bribed, isn't it? But you know, he's using the term desire, but not everybody is it's because of bait. You look at somebody who has a different belief and he's not some kind of hedonist, wild man, wild woman, whatever it is. There are all kinds of desires that can cloud our thinking. He doesn't want to come to that conclusion for various reasons. And that blinds us. Ve'inam yecholim liros ha'emes, and can't see the truth. A person who's not steeped in his desires, ain lo shum koshi lahavchen ha'emes shel emunas Hashem, doesn't have difficulty. A young child accepts it. Vishamati, I heard. Shezeu atam shematzino harbe anashim ha'aminim bedosos maleos hevel v'rik ve'inam makshim shum koshus. He points out the following irony. There are people who believe in all sorts of bizarre, weird, ridiculous beliefs, and don't ask any questions. This is what our cult does. Kachra. Very nice. That's our minhag. That's it. No kashas. And then the Yid comes in with all kinds of questions. The Jew has the Torah, has all kinds of difficulty. Yeah, but what about this? And how do you reconcile that? And what do you do with that Ibn Ezra over there? All kinds of attacks on the Torah. I told you, there's a fellow I know, Rabbi Noam Gordon. He's a Rebbe in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. He's a math professor for many, many years, a big Talmud Chacham, so he was sitting at our Shabbos table a number of years ago here, and he told me that when he showed the head of his math department, I forget what university, the amazing insight of the Vilna Gaon, some question whether it's really from the Vilna Gaon, but whatever, the point is that in Malachim, when Shlomo HaMelech, when the Yamsha also Shlomo, so it says a kav, it says that a cross, it was 10 amos across, and a kav, a line you would draw around it, would be 30 amos. 10 across, 10 diameter, 30 amos perimeter. Is that the word they use for a circle? Okay, I'm not in geometry now. Anyway, so the word kav is red kav, kuvav, and it's spelled kavo with a hey at the end. We don't know why, it's a Korean exiv. The Vilna Gaon shows this is an approximation. We know if it's 10 across, it's not really 30 around. You have to use pi. It's 31.4, right? The numerical relationship between pi, 3 and pi, or 30 and 31, 4, 159, etc., is the same relationship between kav and kavo. So the Basak is alluding to the fact that it's an approximation, which is a phenomenal insight. So he showed it to the head of his math department, who was a Gentile, who was blown away by this insight. Then he showed it to a third person who said, I don't believe the Vilna Gaon would say something that's only accurate to 6 decimal points. So, you know, I don't mean that that's literally the same thing as this, but my point is, you know, people who have the Torah give it a much harder time. There are people out there willing to believe all kinds of Narishkeit, and they just go along with it. I mean, it really is an irony, and yet people have the truth sitting right in front of them, and they're attacking it and assailing it, and v'koshelem hamin ba'mitos ha-Torah, and it's difficult for them to believe in the truth of the Torah. V'ateretzu, the answer is, v'shara dasos eina machayvim shum davar kamad. The other religions almost don't necessitate anything. You don't have to do anything. Many of you may recall when we were learning the Chazon Ish's Emuna Bitachon, and he's talking about Emuna, he says Emuna is not a binary question. You either believe or you don't believe. You know, it's a box on the form. Check off, do you believe? A, you know, yes, B, no. It's not like that. Belief is, it's an ongoing struggle and so on. But I think he's responding to, there are belief systems that do believe. Just check off. Do you believe? Yeah, you're a believer. Okay, that's it. Just taken care of. Nothing more. For us, Emunah is an ongoing daily struggle. Am I doing too much ishtadlus? Am I doing the right thing? Am I having enough bitachon? It's a whole life's process. But others don't have that. To the contrary, they bring a lot of pleasure to the people who believe in them. It's all kinds of mystical, you know, it's cool, it's going to solve all your problems, it's healthy, it's like yoga, you know, religion is just, it's something to make you feel good. That's part of the problem we have, is we live in a world where everything is really self-serving. And then you try to teach a Torah where the opening line of Mesilas Yesharim is, gee, how can I, Judaism be meaningful to me? It's rather, it's, what am I supposed to do for God? Oh, wait a minute. That's how religion works. It's like it's a different approach. But that's the problem. Of a Torah chayavus us and a Tariag mitzvah, it obligates us in Tariag mitzvah, it shalets us al kol chelik me'achayim shalanu, and it dominates, it rules over every area of our lives. Salavetchik and Isha Halacha shows how Judaism is really about halacha. The basic idea there is that he talks about scientific man. In the world out there, there's two people, scientific man and religious man. Scientific man is very much grounded in this world. He wants to know how everything works. He's very much involved with the world around him. And the religious man is somewhere up in the cosmos. He's meditating on the top of a mountain in Tibet. You know, he's out there. The uniqueness of Judaism is that it's very much grounded in everything in this world, but with religious meaning. Right, is the sun going down? What implications does that have for davening mincha and for shkia? What kind of what's the topography like? What's the geography like? Has implications for tchum and you know, carrying on Shabbos? Everything. I was just dealing with the emails today about mikvah. You know, water. How does water go and connect? You know, everything is every area of the scientific world has an application in our religious life. So it's very much grounded in this world with its underpinning being connected to the rest of the world, but halacha dominates every area of our life. It's not like if you want to be a religious person, just meditate and be somewhere else. V'lachein teva ha'odam hu l'ishtadol yishamat mimena. Therefore, it's the nature of man to try to release himself from it. Yishamed, like the word shemitah, means a release. That is a profound insight. V'yesh l'das, and one should know, sheshayach. Thinking of, well, we'll let it go. Another example, but Shashayach Shadam Yimsar Es Nafsho LaAvodah Zarah Shelo. It's possible that a person will be most in nefesh for avodah zarah. This is an important point. When we kol makom eschayev benafsho avuro, he's about to make the following point. Some people think anything that somebody is committed wholeheartedly to must be legitimate. For that person, it's true. But if that were the case, then people who blow up buildings by crashing planes into them would be l'shem shemayim. And we don't hold that to be true. But look at the irony of that. You can have a person who's so convinced of something that he's really supposed to be most nefesh for it, willing to give up his life for this cause. But you know what? Sheker. It's sheker. It's falsehood. He doesn't give a contemporary example. He gives a Gemara example. Kamavur b'gemara yuma. You have the following story. There's a halacha that the ketores has to be lit inside. So the tzedukim didn't believe that. I forget what they darshaned. The Gemara, this is why they interpret it differently. This is often the case. If you don't have Torah Shabbat Pei, you end up doing things wrong. He did not like the halacha that you have to put the ketores on the pan after you come in. This is the words of the Gemara here. He was very happy. He met his father. His father met him. Even though we're tzedukim, we don't believe in the Torah Shabbat Peh. Miss Yaranonim in Aprushim, but we're afraid of the Prushim. That's a risky thing you did. Those religious zealots, those oral tradition fanatics, are going to get you. Amalei, he said to him, Kol Yomai Hayisim Star Al Pasuk Ze. Oh, here's what they darshan. My whole life I was concerned about this pasuk kibe onon eroa el akaporas. For in a cloud I will appear on the kapar. That's the pasuk that they interpret to mean that way. He said, when am I going to fulfill that pasuk? Now that it came to me, I actually had the opportunity to be the Kohen going in and doing it the right way. I won't do it. And by the way, the Gemara ends off that he suffered a horrible fate. Adkan. Bidvar Pelahu, it's a wonder, Shatzaduki Mosar Nafshabad Mitzvaso, quote unquote. He's willing to be Mosar Nefesh, he's putting his life at risk for his mitzvah. And ironically, Vamar Mamish Kalishna Rabbi Akiva, Shamar Bishas Masiris Nafshal, Kadush Hashem. He uses the same wording that we find in the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva was being tortured to death, Rahman Litzlan, he uses those same words, Kol Yama Hisim Star Al Pasuk Zebachol Nafshacha, Afilu Notalis Nafshacha, Amarti Mosar Yavo. Liyadi Vakamenu, or Bikiva said, my whole life I wanted to be able to fulfill this mitzvah of serving Hashem with your whole soul, with your whole life. The same words. Turning the page, V'achshu Shabbat Liyadi Vakamenu. That's the Gemara on the end of Maseches Brachos. And it's the same words that this Tzeduki used. All right, and he quotes it here. Mahi Yasofa Shalos Tzeduki, what was the end? Amru Sham Lahay Yamim Watamat Shemes V'utol Ba'ashba V'yitolon Yotze Mechotmo. Wasn't long till he died, and he was cast into a garbage heap, and worms were coming out of his nose. Not a good thing. So how could it be? Why would a person be Moser Nefesh for something that's Sheker? V'hatam, the reason is, Sha'af Shehem in Shekavanasa L'Shem Shemayim, even though he believed, he thought his intent was L'Shem Shemayim, Mikol Makom Kol Shitosav Hayumi Yusadam Al Ritzonah Shel Sheker. All of his shitos, all of his stances, were based on, they were music, they had their foundation on wills, on desires that were false. Shlo bikesh ba'emes l'kayim ritzon ha'borei. That he didn't seek in truth to fulfill the will of the Creator. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing that a person can lead himself so astray that he's willing to forfeit his life for something that's checker. But we see it. We see it in the world.
I mean, the thing is, do they think that they know? Like, people sometimes, they say, you go this way, like over here the distance is not so great, but when you're over here, all of a sudden you're like way off.
We convince ourselves gradually. We convince ourselves of things gradually, one after another after another. I don't think a person goes entirely astray in one go.
That's why you're supposed to do accounting. Because every once in a while, because then you realize,
to realign ourselves.
You sit down, you sort of like, I've been over here with this thing, I need to...
Right.
But if one's foundation is false, and they don't realize that the foundation is false, then they really are,
Yeah, so that's why we have to be introspective. That's why Musar is very much...
Yeah, you have to.
On the one hand, though, it's very far, but it's also very close. When we really want to do a good analysis, it's not... I mean, it's hard, but it's not that hard to say, well, what's really driving me here, I'm sorry, Jen.
You need to check with your motivation sometimes. Right, sometimes your motivation for doing something is not
really... The Bali Musar made such a point of being self-questioning that to us it almost sounds silly. It sounded like, really? You doubt yourself? But they had such self-doubt and such introspective, harsh analysis. If I'm not mistaken, the story that the authorities once broke into the Beis Medrash, and the altar of Slobodka was there, and they said, who's in charge? So Rabbi Ruchel Levovitz said, I am. So they took him out, and his life was in danger. He ended up surviving, but it wasn't him. It was really the altar of Slobodka. He was saving his Rebbe. He was saving the Rebbe. And after he was so upset at himself, the Gaiva, he said, I had felt such pride when I said, I'm the one in charge. Look at the arrogance in me. He did it to save his life. He put his life in danger. But he felt, I was just proud to be the one. Yeah, I'm it. Yeah. Most of us would immediately just say that was a total selfless act. But there was some vestige of pride that he was able to say, I'm the one in charge. For us it sounds extreme, but the Musar is all about being extremely self-questioning.
I think you need to ask yourself sometimes, am I serving myself? Who am I serving?
Right.
Well, I think sometimes you have to have somebody else, you have to rubber somebody in the picture that's checking up where you're going. I think otherwise you can convince yourself of all sorts of wonderful things. And we had this conversation in a different year where basically you can convince yourself that this is the way you're supposed to be doing things and you're by yourself, but when you have somebody to check in with and say, hey, wait a second, is this Das Torah? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I going the right direction? Then you can really appreciate what you're evaluating.
Right. Sometimes it can be a Das Torah thing. Is this even what's valued? Is this the right thing? Sometimes it's something that doesn't even require that. The Mefarshim say in Pirkei Avos, the idea of a Chavar Tov is another person who could be equal to me can criticize me much better than I can criticize myself. Because he doesn't have negios. He doesn't have ulterior motives. I, in my own life, there's reasons why I want the conclusion to be X. I really want it to be Y. The other person doesn't have those issues, so he can look at it and say, I really think you got to do like this, not like that. So another person can be an equal to you, but can have greater clarity, and you to him, same the other way. But that's what it's about.
Steinberg, how does Musa reconcile or complement Simcha?
Simcha?
Yeah.
Because the truth is, there's great happiness in realizing these things. The happiness in knowing that I'm actually pursuing the truth and I'm not living a deluded life. It's not supposed to be depressing at all. It's funny, just as you were asking that, you reminded somebody who was in my house on Friday and had just heard a talk about Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. And he said, with all the things that he had to deal with, and he was the happiest person. There's a simcha in knowing that I'm not living some false, blissful life that's heading nowhere. There's great joy in the ability. First of all, we believe in tshuva. We believe that man is not perfect, but has the ability to always be improving himself. And the fact that we're able to do that is a great joy. To the contrary, a person who is deluding himself or herself deep down is not happy. My Mishle Shiva just teaching Psukim to talk about where there's a superficial simcha, but on the inside it's all broken up. It's a ruach necheya, because my life is going very smoothly, but deep down, like, why? What for? Why am I doing? That's also sheker. If I'm living a life that's successful at one level, they'll write an article about me in the newspaper, but it's not really successful what I know deep down I'm supposed to be doing, that's also sheker.
Your neshama wants to align itself with Hashem.
Right.
And when you do, it brings great joy.
And sometimes that involves
fulfillment. It brings shalom.
Right, and
it
sometimes that involves asking hard questions.
It brings completeness.
I often quote in Shabbos Shuva, Cook has a beautiful line in Oros HaTshuva, that when a person first starts doing tshuva, there's a terribly frightful moment. And basically, the person shouldn't get discouraged by that. What happened is, until now, all of the problems and the ailments and the illness have been hidden in the dark. Now what you did is you turned the light on. And now you see all of it. So the person gets totally frightened and upset. But he says, that's not a reason to get upset. That's how you fix it. Now, it's a great simcha. Okay, now at least I'm honest with myself. I used to walk around deluding myself that I'm this and I'm that. I'm this Balmidus and that Balmidus. And I realize I'm really not. But at least there's a great simcha knowing the truth and being able to address it rather than living a false life.
I think if you were able to all the time be emes, that would be like Shabbos every day.
Yeah. Shabbos, the Menucha of Emes.
I mean, it would be like Emes. Shabbos every day, but
yeah. Okay. Shabbos is supposed to be, at some level, Shabbos is an interesting balance because Menucha means, to some degree, relishing the accomplishments we already have, but also knowing that there's a coming week. Anyway, so the end of that paragraph, Elachein Ancho Godol Minaso. Therefore, his punishment is, that's a borrowed phrase from Kayan, who committed the first murder, his punishment is too great to bear. Shishkias kochosu b'chayim shel sheker. He invested. He sunk in his kochos into a life of falsehood. Next, l'havchin ben haratzonos shelanu v'hashitos shelanu. To be able to discern, l'havchin, to tell the difference, I make a bracha every morning. The first real praise of Hashem is Nosan Lasech Vina Lahavchin and Yom Vein Laila, to be able to discern the difference between things. It's not all the same. Chazal say, Main Da'as Havdalah Minayin. The bracha in which we say Havdalah in Shemona Esrei, if you daven Maariv on a Saturday night, where do we put Natachan on Tano, which is the insert for Havdalah? It's in the bracha of Da'as. Chazal say, Main Da'as Havdalah Minayin. If there's no Da'as, you don't see the difference between things. One of my Rebbeim, who's now a huge Talmud Chacham, and his father is also a Rosh Hashiva, he said when he was a little kid, he once was talking to his father, said, why do we have to learn all the Rishonim? They're all saying the same thing. He said, my father almost fell off his chair laughing. Anyway, you learn superficially, it's all the same thing. You learn it meticulously. Oh, the Rambam's going like this, Tos is going like that. Oh, it's two different strands of thought, right? The more das you have, the more you pick up differences. So that's the ability to be mavchin, very important. So, tzrichim lahavchin bein haratzono shalom bein hashita shalom. We have to be able to tell the difference between what we want and what we believe. V'zeh yisod gadol atzlochas ha'adam. This is a great yisod for man's success. Teva ha'adam shirotza luchios benachas imatzmo. A person wants to live at peace with himself. V'sheyargishu ish tov. To believe he's a good person. V'lochenim nechshol be'eza aveira. And therefore, if he stumbles, if he violates some aveira, nechshol has the connotation. It wasn't like he believes in it. He succumbed. Yadif lachshov she'ina aveira milahodos ala emes. He'd rather, he would, to be ma'adif is to give priority or greater value to, right? That's why, and here, odef is change. It's, you know, it's only 75 cents and I gave a dollar. That's what sticks out beyond. Yeah, we're going to have a few parshas with the Mishkan, Saracha odef. I mean, is that which goes beyond what you would prefer. He would prefer to think that it wasn't a sin, mila hodos ala emes, sheba emes nechshel, than to admit to the truth that he actually made a mistake.
I think it's better to think that you're not a good person, because then you'll strive to be a better person. If you think you're already a good person, you're not going
to
strive
to anything. It's a balance, because also
not
to be rushed.
You appreciate your strengths to move forward.
You appreciate your strength, but you have to realize that you can always do better.
Right. To realize that you're a good person because you recognize your weaknesses. How's that?
Okay.
Which I think is what great people do. V'shamati me'arav Aaron Vilk Shlita. I don't know who this is, but Lefarish Bazeh Divrei Chazal. This person gave a very keen insight. There's a famous Chazal. Kevin she'over Adam Aveira v'shana bo nasas lo keheter. Once a person has done an Aveira and repeated it, shana can mean to repeat, like Lechem Mishnah is double bread, this week's parasha. So it becomes to him like a heter. A person did an aveira and repeated it, it becomes to him like a heter. An old Yiddish joke or Yiddish saying, you say somebody has Rav Huna's heter. Rav Huna is the one who said this in the Gemara. How's he allowed to do that? Oh, he has Rav Huna's heter. Oh. And he, which Rav Huna? Rav Huna is the one who said, once he did an aveira once and repeated it for you, it's like it's permissive. It's a joke. I mean, it doesn't have a heter, it just means he's a repeat offender. But why is that? So I think the way most of us would take that is it means you break down the barriers. That used to be unthinkable, and he did it once, oh boy, did a terrible thing. And once he did it twice, three times, so now already there's nothing in his mind that's stopping it. And that's the simple understanding of why our sages say once a person does an aveira once and repeats it, it becomes like it's permissible. But listen to what this Rav said. Shekevin sha'adam lo amad b'nisyono. Since he wasn't able to stand the test, Al-Kain matir ha-davar la'atzma. So therefore he permits it to himself. In other words, I'd rather believe it's permissible than believe I did an aveira. So once a person has done this a couple times, it becomes permissible, not because he broke down the barriers, but because in his mind he's going to convince himself that it must be permissible, because otherwise I'm not a good person. V'zehu mamish sakana l'ruchnias ha'odim. This is literally a danger to the spirituality of man. She'yefshel l'sakin ma'isev. He can't fix his actions. Amenem moda shem roim. If he doesn't admit that they're bad. So we're starting to see why emes is such a critical trait. Because without emes, he can't really talk about fixing the midas, because my midas are perfect. Because I justify this one and overlook that one and change the truth on that one, right? V'lochein. Person has to be able to discern the difference between the truth and the straight path and the level he's at now. This is relevant both in the I always quote that pasuk from Tehillim. Svar Meira means turn away from bad. Asay Tov means pursue good. Staying away from what is wrong, pursuing what is good. Besur Meira, Adam Shenech Shochas V'Shalom Be'ezaveira. In terms of staying away from bad, a person who succumbed to a certain Aveira, Al Yara Heter La'atzma, She'en Aveira Zu Asura. He shouldn't convince himself that this is not forbidden. Kol Kach, not so bad. V'Shehar Be'enem Nizharim Bazem. Many people aren't careful about it. He should rather say, no, it's, people might do it, but it's not right. And he should strengthen himself in what's written, the tzaddik falls seven times, and he gets up. But the tzaddik at least views it as falling. He doesn't convince himself, oh, I was just downhill skiing. You know? If he remembers that he's falling, then he'll get up at the end. V'chein ba'asei tov, similarly on the good side. Adam shemis atzel chas v'shalom b'kiyu meza mitzvah min ha-mitzvah. So the first thing we were saying is to recognize that if where I'm at is down here and where I'm supposed to be is up here, I'm too low. Okay? Now on the other side, a person who's lazy. Al yore hetel atzma shu davar miyusar v'chadome. He shouldn't convince himself that thing that you're telling me to do is just, you know, it's frumkeit, it's something extra. You know, you don't want to be being energetic, having alacrity is a nice thing, but it's not really important. So this is just me. He's not supposed to do that. This is a big foundation. Here's a speech about you're supposed to be thinking in Torah day and night. V'choshev la'atzma thinks to himself, Zelo shayach etzli, this is not relevant to me. V'alavai she'amud ba'asmodek sh'ani yoshev l'fnei ha'sefer. V'alavai, when I'm actually sitting in front of the book, I would learn diligently. Don't start talking to me about that kind of focus and dedication. O shomei drosha shel musar al-chiv ha'adam lifrosh mitanuga elam azer. Here's about not being steeped in the pleasures of this world. V'choshev la'atzma, alavai she'efrosh mi'suri elam azer. I don't have to start talking about those things. Halavai, were it only so that I would stay away from things that are forbidden. So he's selling himself short. Zeu ta'os gadol, it's a big mistake. Tzarech ha'adam lilmod ha'musr t'chilim and blilas bonan heich zem matim masav. The person first has to learn musr without contemplating how is it relevant to himself. Ela lilmod mahu ha'emes v'ha'yosher. But to learn what is the truth in the straight path. Mahu shleimus ha'adam, what's developed, what's full man? It doesn't matter what his specific situation is. What he's saying is that, and then only afterward to apply it to himself. Why, what's the problem if when I'm listening from the outside, I'm thinking of how it's relevant to me? If I'm thinking about how it's relevant to me, I'm going to get defensive. There are defense mechanisms. I mentioned, I think, last time, that's why the Svarim described the power of mushal. A mushal gets the message in before you realize how it's relevant to yourself. And then all of a sudden, once you admit and you say, yeah, this should be like this and this should be like that, then the mashal flips and says, and it's talking about you. That is what Nasan HaNavi did with David HaMelech. Atoha Ish tells a story. It's the only time that anybody was able to get something into full Kibayachal David HaMelech. Tells him a story about, a guy who stole from a poor person and he had a guest and it sounded like a separate Shiloh. And he said, what would be with that person? That's a terrible sin. The audacity of that is so bad, he deserves to die. And then he says, you're the man. You did that, but at a different level. And with different circumstances, or different... it's a mashal and a nimshal, but the atah ish, you're the person. And that's what the great Magidim used to do. Tell a story about Reb Zalman, who was a yid out in the... Hamlet, and this happened, that happened, and then he said to his wife like this and like that, and you're so moved and you're so stirred, and that shows us why we have to be like this, and yeah, you know what? That happens in our daily life. That's the power of mashal. So he says the same thing, when we learn something, it shouldn't be with defense mechanisms. It's true, the same is true in halacha. Well, this is what I do, so this has to be right. Now, as I'm learning, I'm making sure that everything I'm reading is in sync with it. Learn it as if you just landed from outer space. And then figure out what you're supposed to do. Then a person can accept with a whole heart what he heard. Because he knows it's true. This is very important. Where he's supposed to reach. That's also what all of Musar is about, is that Adam be a kar v'lo yavin. Man is glorious and doesn't understand it. It'll inspire him to fix himself per his level. And to start climbing up. Sometimes we're really roused. We say, you know what, I should be climbing the ladder, and I'm not. Until the head of it reaches the heavens. We always have to open our hearts to words of Musar and rousing. Don't be afraid to hear the truth. Which brings us to Da es atzmacha. Know yourself. Next, Os Gimel, on page Chav Zayin. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta Zatzal Amar Da es atzmacha. Rabbi Yisrael used to say, you have to know yourself. The quote in Dini's grandfather's Sefer is a tremendous collection of quotes from different Balei Musar. And I forget who he was quoting, but it says, every Maimar, which means like a whole Shir of Rabbi Yisrael, is like a whole Torah. And every vart is a veg. Every word of his is a path. Rabbi Yisrael was very terse. Like his Talmidim used to take a letter of his, and it was life-changing. Other people read the letter, not sure what he's trying to say. I don't see so much here. But everything that Rabbi Yisrael said was very measured and with deep insight. So he said a person has to know himself. Sha'adam tzarech ladas es atzmo, to know himself. Mahi hakavana amita shel ma'asav. What's the true intent of his actions? What's really driving me? Are they really for the sake of heaven, or are they for himself? For example, I think I mentioned it also, the Chovas Halvavah says most nice things that people do for others on a basic level are because of a sense of shame. He's actually talking there about how we have to thank Hashem for the basic things we put in the world, one of them being that people have a sense of shame. And why should we be so thankful? Because in society in general, the fact that people have a sense of shame is what makes the world function in a decent way. You know, you're walking down the street and you trip or you drop something and the person says, oh, can I help you, sir? Often it's not coming from a profound sense, hopefully in more developed people it is, but often it's not coming from a profound sense of empathy and God-fearingness and all that. It's just, I'd be embarrassed not to. What kind of a coarse and unrefined person sees someone else drop something, doesn't pick it up, or bumps into somebody, doesn't say, excuse me. It's a sense of shame. So, but he said the person really analyzed it. A lot of what he's doing is just because he'd be embarrassed not to. It's not necessarily l'shem shemayim. Ha'im hem yisharim u'mekol kolim. Are they straight or corrupted? Say l'mad me'achei Yosef. Let's go take a lesson from the brothers of Yosef. Halo baruch shekavanasim b'mechiris Yosef ha'izit l'shem shemayim. It's clear their intention was for the sake of heaven. These are the shvatim who appear on the choshen. And the Chazal say they had a din Torah, and they thought it was the right thing to do, and they thought that Yosef had it in for them, like, from Yishmael and Yitzchak, there was only Yitzchak, and from Yaakov and Esav, there was only Yaakov, and now they were falsely trying to, he was falsely trying to get all of them written off also. Ela shalohi kiru shachlatasam hushba'a yidei mitas hakina shayse tzimun abhem. They didn't realize that their decision, Hachlata's decision, was influenced by a trait of jealousy that was hidden deep in their hearts. Upachat pchadim, it is a fright of all frights. Shafilu tzadik gadol, even a very righteous person, yachol lasos maaser rishus, can do an act of evil, afilu ritzicha, even murder. Em eino maven es atzmo karoi. He doesn't understand himself properly. And it's not considered by accident. You might say, well, we can't be held to that level of self-analysis, so it's not my fault. If there is some deep motive, it's not my fault, but it's not true. We see that it's not considered an accident. They were held guilty. Because there was something lacking in the Midah of Emes. Again, this shows the centrality of the Midah of Emes. The beautiful, painful, but beautiful insight from Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz. And the story we read as the Haftarah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, the story with Chana and Penina. So Penina didn't have children, and I'm sorry, Chana didn't have children, and Penina teased her. V'chiyasata tzarasa gam kos b'avur harima. So Chazal say, Penina l'shem shamayim nischavna. She was teasing her co-wife, and she meant it, l'shem shamayim. So, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said, how did our sages know that she meant it L'Shem Shemayim? There's nothing in the story that says that it was L'Shem Shemayim. He said, because such rishus could only have been L'Shem Shemayim.
Wow.
When I convince myself, I'm teasing you so you'll daven more, I'm teasing you so you'll do more tshuva, but not real. But you see at the end of that story, especially the Chazal interpret the words of Chana and her Shira, that Penina was very punished for that. We can be convinced, this is what I had to go harm that person, I did it for the right reason, and it could be lacking in the Midah of Emes. V'yodua b'yuro shel abeis ha-levi b'divri ha-medesh rabba ma-dechsiv. So he's continuing on the brothers of Yosef and Yosef. There's a famous beis ha-levi. The beis ha-levi is the father of Reb Chaim Brisker, the first Reb Yosef Ber Halevi Soloveitchik, died in 1896. We have his commentary on the Chumash through this week's parash. No, through Yisro. No, it's a little on Kisisa. We only have it through most of the book of Shmos, and then we have other drushes of his. I don't know why we don't have what he wrote later. But anyway, he writes about this story. When it says, Ani Yosef ha'odo v'chai, v'lo yochel echel lanos osoki nivelu mipanav. Yosef declares, this is one of the most dramatic moments in all of Chumash, I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? And the brothers couldn't answer him because they were flustered from before his face. She'isa v'medrash. So the medrash on that, Amar Rabbi Abba Kohen Bardala, Rabbi Kohen Bardala said, Oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom atochecha, woe to us from the day of judgment, woe to us from the day of rebuke. Yosef, ketanon shel shvatim, lo yachlu echav lanos, so kinivlu m'panim. Yosef was one of the youngest of the shvatim, and his brothers couldn't answer him. He's giving them a word of musar, and they couldn't respond. When Hashem will come and show, demonstrate for each one, l'fi mashu, per what he is, I will rebuke you and show you before your eyes. Alachas kama v'kama. How much more so? They were flustered by Yosef Atzadi. You can imagine when we come to judgment before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at a simple level, Yosef is giving them musa. They did something to him, affected his whole life. And they couldn't respond. What will we say before our Kaddish Baruch? But Upir Shabbos Alev, the Beis Alev explains Shetochachas Yosef Haisa Amiras Ani Yosef Ha'oda Bichai. The rebuke was in the words, "I am Yosef. Is my father still alive?" Kimatmiya. Listen to how he explains those words, like one who wonders. Va'omer LeDevrechem. According to your words, Ani Eini Maven Echavi Adayin Chai. According to what you've just been preaching for the last. Whatever amount of time it is, I don't understand how our father is still alive. Here they come in front of this viceroy of Egypt, and he's bothering them, they should bring their younger brother. They keep saying, we can't bring him because we can't do that to our father. We can't take away from our father his son, he'll be so pained. They don't realize who they're talking to. It would kill our father if we would take away his son. We can't take away his son, it would be so hard for our father. Yosef gets up and he says, I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive? Everything you've just been preaching, how come it wasn't relevant then? Says the Beis HaLevi, a person comes before Hashem and has his claims. I couldn't do that because of this. I did that because of that. All of that, and we'll be shown to be hypocrites. You're so concerned about that? What about this? Same thing. He's hinting to his brothers that they contradict themselves. Now they're so pained, they're so concerned for the pain of their father by taking Binyamin. How come they weren't pained when they sold him? The words of the Medrash that the Beis HaLevi is commenting on is he's going to rebuke. By the way, the word lahochiach means to show and to rebuke. It means both. Malbim says musar is like punishment kind of rebuke. Tochacha is show. Lahochiach is to prove or to show. Tochacha is rebuke where you're showing somebody. How can you say that? Look at this. So he's going to be mochiach, each person per what he is. Shelefi ma'asav, per his own actions, yufruchu kol terutzav. A pircha in Gemara terminology is akasha. They're going to be upgefracked. Per his own actions, all of his answers are going to be disproven. All the answers for his sins will be disproven based on his other actions. Because of the Beis Halevi, Marshal Lamisha Poter Atzma Mitzdaka Machas Dochak Vekovet HaParnasa, a person who exempts himself from tzedaka because of the pressure of Parnasa. Hagam She'enu Teretz Maspek, even though it's not a really sufficient answer, sufficient defense. Kamosha Amru Imro Adam Shemoz Nosu Mitzumtum Yasam Ham Tzedaka Chazal really say, even if a person doesn't have much, he should give tzedaka. Avam Mikomak Mitaka Lahakal Ancho Kevin Shetoyi, but he earned, he's making a mistake. Somewhere else we show him he was very profligate for some other desire. So he says he doesn't have money for tzedakah here, but for there he was able to spend a lot of money. How come Parnasa didn't stop him over there? So now Rav Kestenbaum takes it a step further. He says this idea of the Beis Halevi, hold on. Chazal said that they had a din Torah, that they really thought that they were judging Yosef based on realities. So what difference does it make if they should have felt more for their father's pain? Right? The whole rebuke is, you say you're so concerned for the feelings of our father, why weren't you concerned back then? What do you mean? Because back then, we had a din Torah. We determined that Yosef was a danger, and if he's a danger, it doesn't matter if our father's going to be upset.
So the reasoning was wrong.
Doesn't follow.
Yeah, but he's asking a question on this. And we all accept the idea of the Beis Halevi. Why are you saying now you're so concerned how our father would feel if Binyamin's taken away? Why weren't you concerned back then for how our father would feel if Yosef is taken away? Right. But you could ask a question on that. You could say, well, that's not really a legitimate claim against them because they had done that based on a din Torah. They had determined Yosef has to be eliminated and they thought that to be correct. Okay, his answer is, well, maybe we'll pick up with it next time. But his answer is, if they weren't even feeling the pain of their father, it's an indication that their midos are off. It would be one thing if they had it in Torah, and feeling came and said, oh, there is a challenge here, because what about the pain of our father? The fact that they were so driven to do this, that the tsar of their father didn't even come into play, this is his answer. Is an indication that some of your midos weren't in check then. Things were off. You didn't realize how you were overcome with this zeal to eliminate Yosef. It wasn't coming from the right place. If it was coming from the right place, you would have done an analysis. Even if you had reached the conclusion, that would have been the right thing to do, but it would have been with a more thorough midos check. The fact that there was no midos check means you were off in the first place, and he says, that's the rebuke.
So your feelings in your head have to be in the same place.
Yeah.
I mean, your sensitivity, everything has to be sort of...
What he's really saying is, if I do something, there should be an obvious hesitation. Even if the ultimate answer is that hesitation should be overruled, mm-hmm. but if the hesitation didn't even come into my mind, I have to do something and it's going to hurt somebody. If I say, you know, that's unfortunate, but unfortunately in this case, it's still the right thing to do, that's one thing. But if it didn't even come into my mind, what about that person's feelings? What about that person's protection? Whatever it might be, then something's off. So he's saying, now you're all full of feelings for your father, but you didn't have those feelings at all when you were so zealous to eliminate Yosef. And so all of this points to emes, truth being in the center of everything. First is true analysis. And again, we learned it with the Chazon Ish, said a person has dimyon, what we often call imagination, but he said it's like emotional thinking. But then there's seichel. Seichel has to come first. Seichel is... unemotionally, what is the right thing to do here? What am I really supposed to be doing? What's the truth? Emes is first to look at everything with the chosama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the truth? Then other things come into play. Our problem is that these other feelings come in first. The person doesn't realize he's following that belief system because he wants to permit this. He doesn't realize he's having this din Torah because he's jealous of Yosef. So truth means to get to the bottom of things and to first analyze things fully. And afterward, to act based on the truth that we discover when we're in the mode of MS, and we will continue next week.
Thank you. Thank you.